I want to bring you greetings on behalf of Elim's National Leadership Team as we step into this new year. Over this past Christmas time, we've been, I think, more aware than ever of the need to ground our daily lives in the truth that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Emmanuel, God with us, is not just for the Christmas story. That promise is for today and for this year ahead. The church through the ages, in times of great challenge and trial, has rooted itself deliberately and deeply in the revelation of who Jesus is, and in a relationship with him that's not just a private thing, but to be lived out in the reality of our lives in every family, in every community, and every culture. Real people in real places, going through real trials and triumphs, challenge and change. So as one year ends, we have a new beginning. I'm not suggesting that we just try to wipe away what's gone before, but that we do move forward in simple and renewed faith in Jesus who leads us, with the Holy Spirit who walks with us, and with one another, fellow disciples together, family. We're sensing it is still a time to walk slowly and tenderly into this year. There is still great suffering and need in our communities, and the impact of the pandemic is far from over. We need to be moved by Jesus's compassion and maybe more aware than ever of the needs of others around us. But we're also sensing that it is time to be filled with fresh hope. Hope that new life will spring forth. Hope that fresh strength will come, and that through it all, we are never alone. He is with us. I pray that this new year, as you walk forward, you will receive fresh confidence, fresh courage, and that fresh compassion of Jesus. That you will know daily, in each season and every situation, God's promises for your life, his glorious presence, his amazing provision for your every need, and his life-changing peace. And that together, as Elim churches and Elim people, we will simply be available, willing, ready for Jesus to fill us and use us wherever he can for his kingdom to come. God bless you, and a blessed new year.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our Estuary Elim Church Group online service, rather. Whether you're joining us live on Zoom or Facebook, or perhaps watching us via a recording later on, I want to take this opportunity to say Happy New Year, and we're so pleased that you can join us. Now, these are, of course, very difficult times for all of us, aren't they? But we're so glad that we serve a God who is true to his promise to never leave or forsake us. And so as we gather together this morning, it's good to know that he is in our midst. I think of the words of that old chorus, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Now, it might be an old chorus, and it is, but the words are still true. And whatever our needs are this morning, we can draw strength from that fact. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Now, we've obviously entered a new year, and although we are by no means out of the COVID woods as yet, we begin this year with a glimmer of hope for a significant change in hopefully the near future. I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah 43, verses 18 through to 19, where God says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now, I don't know about you, but I really feel that we are moving into one of God's watch this space moments. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we just thank you that you never leave us or forsake us, that even now you are working behind the scenes of our lives, And indeed, you are right here with us this morning. And we want you to know that we love you and we offer our praise and our worship to you this morning. We ask for your healing touch on those who are unwell. We think particularly of Tony this morning and ask, Lord, for your strength and your healing touch. We ask for your divine favor to lift up those of us who are struggling and for you to speak very clearly to us this morning through your word. Lord, we pray that we might enter into everything that you have for us today. We also pray for your protection for all the doctors and nurses and other key workers who are even now working so hard on our behalf. And we say, Lord, do a new thing at this time in our nation. Do a new thing, Lord, in our world. Cause there, as it were, to be a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. Amen. Now, our senior pastor, David Redbond, will be introducing our new theme for the year of significant seasons. He'll be doing that a little later on today, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to that.
We're now going to hear from our senior minister, Dave Redbond, who's going to be bringing to us the new theme for this year, significant seasons.
Dave Redbond, one of the members of the Estrian Church Group ministry team, and it's my opportunity and privilege to bring to you at the start of this new year the keynote talk in relation to the launch of our new theme for the year, which we have entitled Significant Seasons. Don't know what your favourite season might be. I suppose for me, it probably is spring. We are here right at the beginning of the new year. The shortest day has now passed, but we're only a third of the way through the meteorological winter. And the evenings are still dark and it's certainly still very cold. And yet at the same time, I can see the evidence in my garden of the new season coming. Already there are bulbs that are showing through, and there is evidence of the birds preparing to set up their breeding territories. And so on the one hand, I'm still experiencing the season that I'm in, but on the other hand, I know that there is another season that is on its way. And so it is in our journey as Christians and followers of Jesus. We live in a season, and that season we're living in is significant for us, but equally there are seasons yet to be entered, and there are signs of the next season coming, and a realization that that season will be a different season to the one that we are in. Indeed, as I think about the seasons, there are a number of things that I realize that they do. And the first thing that I'm reminded is that the seasons are covenanted by God. Indeed, they are commanded by God, and they are created for a purpose. They're under the control of God. They contrast from each other. They're central to life itself. They are a catalyst for change. The seasons convey God's glory. They are crucial for growth. They will challenge our behaviour, and the seasons communicate a message. And so as this year we journey through the year and we journey in our Christian life, let's realise that there will be significant seasons for us as a church and also for us as individuals, and that we need to be aware of both where we are in the terms of the season that we are in and adjust to that season, but also be conscious of a new season that will be coming. Because as we come to the place where we enter into that new season, then it gives us opportunities. But also we discover, as we look at the children of Israel, that we can miss those opportunities altogether. See, for the children of Israel, we read in Numbers 13 that they had come through the wilderness and had arrived at the borders of the Promised Land. And spies are sent in to seek out the lie of the land and to get some idea of what lays ahead. And we read in Numbers 13, they arrive at the Valley of Eshkol, where there, because it's the season for the grapes to be fruiting, they find a branch of grapes which they cut. It takes two of them to carry it because it is so heavy. And they return back to the children of Israel to share with them what they have seen and what they have experienced. And we see that here, right at the outset, there is a choice between a season of abundance or a season of aridness. And we will discover that tragically, a generation of the Israelite people were to experience aridness in their lives rather than abundance in their lives. For us as a church and as individuals, there is a sense, I believe, in which we are going to have the opportunity to enter into a season of abundance. And God is going to open up for us some amazing opportunities, corporately and individually. Because God wants us to be in a place of blessing in order that we might be a blessing. But at the same time, as we think about that, we need to recognize that we will always have an influence on the season in which we enter. There will always be significant seasons, but there is a sense in which we have some say over the experience and the season that we will face. And so it is with the children of Israel, because what happens is that despite the evidence of the abundance, despite the realization that God had brought them to this moment of choice and decision, that although they had seen all that was available to them, they also saw that there was opposition to them acquiring what it was that was on offer. And they came to the conclusion that the powerful forces that were against them were so great that it would not be possible for them to be able to attain what God had said. We need to realize, as we face significant seasons, that there are forces at work that will seek to rob us of the abundance that God wants us to enjoy, that will seek to rob us of the destiny that God has called us into, that will seek to rob us of those opportunities just to know his power at work in and through our lives. And we must determine that we take hold of all that God offers in the significant seasons that lie ahead. How is that possible? How was it that the children of Israel ended up in this place where they failed to know and experience what God had for them? Well, the first thing we have to realize when it comes to significant seasons is that they are coming as a result of a covenant from God. We read that when God judged the world, that following the flood and Noah and his family escaping from it, having been protected in the ark, that when Noah meets with God after the flood has receded, God gives him a covenant. And the covenant is one of seasons. It's a covenant that states that there would be seed time and harvest, there would be heat and cold. The evidence of the seasons would continue for the time that this world exists. A promise that God gave and a promise that God will never break. And when we come to our significant seasons, we also are faced with the recognition that there are promises that are given to us. The problem that the children of Israel had was that although in facing that significant season, they were aware of the promises that God had given to them, that they would be brought into a land of plenty and abundance, they came to the conclusion that God would not keep his promise. They came to the conclusion that somehow or other God would let them down and would not fulfill his word to them. And as a result of that, they came then to the conclusion that they would not go in. You and I need to remember the promises God has given to us. We need to recognize in our significant seasons that whatever it is that we might be facing, and it won't always be easy, it won't always be a case of there is nothing to face that seeks to oppose us, but to remember the promises that have come from a covenant-keeping God who stands upon the words that he has given and who will not fail to keep those words to us. For some of you, there are promises you are still waiting for, but to know there is a covenant-keeping God who will keep those promises, and the seasons are evidence of it. When you see the seasons, you see a God of promise, and you can be assured of those promises being fulfilled in your own heart and life. Let's take a moment just to pray, and not only to pray, but to thank God for the promises that he has given to us, and to pray that he will give us the strength to trust him and believe him, and for the promises that are yet to be fulfilled in our lives, to ask him to help us to see and understand that he is a God who is faithful to us. Secondly, when it comes to significant seasons, that we see that for the children of Israel, this significant season was a challenge to them to live differently. You see, they had been an oppressed people. They had been held in slavery by the Egyptians. God had brought them out of that and was bringing them into a place of freedom. They had gone on their journey through the wilderness to the promised land, and in that time they had seen and discovered the faithfulness of God. But there was still a mindset in their lives that they were a weak people who were unable to really be successful or accomplish anything. There was almost a sense in which mentally they were still living in Egypt. And this new season, this significant season they were about to face, required them to look at things and consider things differently and to live differently. They were no longer going to be people who were living under subjection of others, but they were now to be a people who were not weak and feeble, but a people who would become strong and powerful as God enabled them and provided for them. You see, when the spies come back, what they say is, we have seen giants there, and those giants are too powerful for us to overcome. When in fact, we see for the significant season that leads to abundance, that both Joshua and Caleb are two men who, yes, recognize that the giants are there, but see that they have lives that are rooted in the power of God and therefore have the ability to overcome and subdue the giants and the opposition that is there for them to take what God is offering to them. You see, when you come to a place where you start to doubt yourself, when you come to a place where you see yourself as being unable to achieve what God is calling you to do, when you come to a place where you see the opposition as greater than you, that is when you are likely, as with the Israelites, to begin to find that it will take you down the road that leads you to aridness rather than to abundance. And you and I need to recognize in the significant seasons that lie ahead that we are called to be people of power, people who live in a place of victory, people who are known as conquerors and overcomers. After all, that is what we are told. We are more than conquerors. Notice that, more than conquerors, because of the fact that Jesus has loved us and given his life for us. He has overcome all the powers of darkness and the enemy, and he has given us and equipped us with that power to be able to defeat the forces of opposition as well. And so when your significant season comes, where God wants to lead you into a place of freshness and newness and abundance, do not let the opposition that you are facing prevent you from moving into all that God has for you. Do not doubt yourself, but put your trust in God, who will enable you to do more than you could ever think possible. And we're going to, in a moment, just discuss a couple of questions about why is it that we so often see ourselves as weak when we're told that we are conquerors? And secondly, what can we do to enable us to be ready to enter into what God offers to us? Thirdly, I want us to see that if we're going to enter into what God has for us, then like the children of Israel, when we come to that moment of choice, that moment of decision, we have two ways of seeing things. Either we see ourselves in control, or we see God in control. And for the children of Israel, they took control of the situation. They came to a point where they took a vote on whether or not they should go in. And the majority decision was to be applied. And of course, we read that the majority took the decision that they were not able to do what was given to them to do. And therefore, they wanted to turn back. They were going to take control over their future, over their lives. They were going to be the ones that were going to make the decisions as regards to the seasons that they were going to enter into. And of course, it proved to be disastrous, because the end result was that they were then to spend 40 years just wandering around in the wilderness, getting nowhere. Whereas we see that for the two men who had already recognized that they had the power to overcome the opposition, they had come to that decision because it was rooted in the understanding that God was in control. And they said as much. They said, look, we ourselves can't overcome these giants. We ourselves can't defeat what we are going to face there in the way of fortified cities. But we're not in control. God is. He's in control of this season. He's in control of what's going to unfold. He's in control of the way that we should take. He's in control of the means by which we can become victorious. And we just need to trust in him and recognize his sovereignty and lordship. And so it is for you and for me and for us as a church, as we enter into significant seasons during this year of 2021, we must always recognize that God is in control and not seek to try and take control ourselves. There is always that danger. There is always that challenge. We see it so often in the lives of men and women of God within the Bible, how that there came points in their lives where they began to take control of their own destiny, of their own decisions, of their own pathway, of their own seasons, and ended up as a result of that in a very difficult place, until they came to the point where they handed control back to God. And once they'd handed control back to God, then they knew God's blessing and God's power again restored to them and working through their lives. And so you and I, we will find there are contrasting seasons ahead. And one of the contrasts will be a contrast between abundance or aridness. For the children of Israel, they had the opportunity of abundance. They could have known overflow in such an amazing way. Everything was revealed to them that showed it was their season, their moment, when they could experience something of the greatness and awesomeness of God and provision of God in a way they'd never experienced before. But at that very moment, when that season of abundance was in touching distance, they instead chose a different way and entered into a season of aridness and emptiness and wandering. Let's ensure that we remember that we have, as we look at the seasons, a covenanting God who's confirmed through the seasons as one who keeps his promises. That in the seasons that we face, as we're challenged to be different, that we will rise to that challenge. That we will submit ourselves to the control of God. And as a result, we will know the power and the provision of God in an amazing way. God bless you.
Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we just want to say you are in control. And we just ask, Lord, help us not to miss the season that we're in. Help us indeed to see the seasons and this particular season for exactly what it is. Lord, that we might be able to grasp the opportunity to put our faith into gear, as it were. That we might be able to rise up and just to be and to do what you have called us to. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that you're going to give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we thank you for joining us this morning. And don't forget, you can watch us again if you want to on Facebook or YouTube. And indeed, we have a thought for the day on a Tuesday and a Thursday on YouTube, but you can tune into that and listen to that. Please check our website for details of other things that you might be interested in. And please don't hesitate to contact us should you have a need or your question that you've got or something that you want us to pray about. We're here for you to do just that. So before I hand over to Simon, let's just say the grace together, shall we? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.